For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
Morning, everybody. All right. Well, we've got a morning of practical issues for ministry. God said he gave some as apostles, teachers, and pastors for equipping the saints. So we're here to help you get equipped so you can equip the people in your home churches. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this church. And thanks for those stories last night about how this whole thing came together as your providence, Lord. And thanks for Dennis's humility in pointing out that this church is here despite him and not necessarily because of him. But we all know that God's worked through him and others here in mighty ways to bring your will to bear, to bring many people to faith. And I thank you so much the way you've changed my life through this church. And I think we sit here as a servant team and thank you for where we are in our lives. So we commit this morning to you, Lord. We want to get equipped because we want to be able to serve you with our whole heart. We want to love the people that you've given us to love. We want to declare your word with authority and teach people so that they become convinced Christians, Lord. So help us do that. Amen. All right, so this morning I'm going to talk about teaching through discussion. And as our elders talked about this, we agree that when it comes to a home church or a cell group, the best way to teach is through discussion. And here we are as the church. We look back at the New Testament church. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Daily, continually, they did this. We find in Acts 18 the way Paul sought this out. It says, and he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. So the persuasion is our method. We want people to become convinced based on the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God in their lives. In Ephesians 4, he says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. He proclaimed to Timothy, he says, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. That's who we are, and we are the pillar and support of the truth. Therefore, we proclaim the truth. And he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. This is like the words of a herald speaking out this good news. He says, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And I think this matter of instruction is what's so vital for us to think about and how we can use discussion in our home church, in our cell groups to help people learn. Because that's what we want. We want them to become persuaded, to learn, to become convinced Christians. Really, with discussion, people learn better because they're engaging the ideas. A guy told me once, don't tell someone what you can ask them. You got that? Think about that. You can apply this in your discipleship, too. You can sit there and preach to people, your discipleship, your children, in any case, in counseling. How much better is it to lead people along in their thinking through questions so that they form the conclusion? If they form it, they own it. It's theirs. It's not yours that they're somehow trying to adopt themselves. No, it's become theirs. So, don't tell someone what you can ask them. You know, in a home church teaching, it takes the pressure off the teacher because it lets the body work together. And when it comes to the personal application, it's personal and it's varied. And so many things come up that are unexpected and really exciting and invigorating. And I think that's the thing about discussion and teaching. It can be engaging and stimulating. You know, like Dennis was saying, we all don't probably have the gift of teaching. We're not charismatic, but listen, as a group, we're the body of Christ, and we're gifted in many ways, in varied ways, and it can be engaging and exciting. You know, and I just hearken back to the words of a ponytailed sage. I don't know if he had a ponytail then or not, but he said this. It's a sin to be boring when you teach the word. All right? And I think it's true. My wife reminds me of that. He said, Briggs, that's what he always calls my wife. That's her maiden name. Briggs, it's a sin to be boring when you teach the word. All right, Joe Boddy could do it better than that. It's the best I can do. Remember this. It is, because this is the living and active word of God that he's given to us to proclaim. So preparation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about preparation, presentation, and then how to develop this skill of teaching through discussion. And I'm going to focus on the discussion part. I don't have time to go, this is not a homiletics workshop, but just in talking about preparation, I'm going to presume that you're praying for a burden from the beginning. That you're studying the passage, you outline it, you do an inductive study, that you determine what the author is saying to the original audience, then what he's saying to us. You read your commentaries, you listen to other teachings, and you take an exegetical approach. You let the text teach. You don't teach. You take your main point, your thesis from the text. You develop an antithesis. All these things. Get them in the homiletic worksheet in the workshop. If you don't know this stuff, go study that. I'm presuming you have that. And what I want to say is don't cram to prepare. You know, if you come in the day of the teaching, you may be really gifted and you can pull this off. There aren't many people that really can. And I think even the gifted person needs to allow the Holy Spirit to sort of percolate. They're meditating on the passage. I always start at least a week in advance and go through the passage, outline it, think it through, and begin praying about it and allow the Holy Spirit to work this way. You're going to get insights, then you talk about it amongst your friends. It's a much better way to prepare. And if you're using a real media presentation or an MP3 of a CT or an outline, you're going to have to cut, because it's too much material for a home church meeting with discussion. Don't just come in and give them the Cliff Notes version of Dennis's or Gary's teaching, okay? So we're going to talk about first in preparation about the discussion. And this is really focused around kind of raising questions, raising issues, and letting people engage them. And there are two main uses of discussion in a teaching. One is to develop the thought or the point. So as you've developed your outline, your homiletic worksheet, you have your thesis, antithesis. You probably have two or three within your teaching. Really, any thesis, any antithesis, unless it's really a technical theological point, you could use a discussion to help develop that point. You really can do that. The other way you use discussion, very useful, is with application. I find myself developing a point and might use a discussion question, and then when we get to the application, let's work together on the application. So we sprinkle the discussion through the teaching. We teach it, we talk about application together. And so you're engaging people and it keeps it interesting and you keep, well, they've been at work or at school all day, they've had dinner, and now you bring them in and they sit down. Man, you got to engage people and be ready to go. Otherwise, they're going to be snoozing on you. Okay, let's talk about discussion to develop a thought. And I'm just going to give you an example of a thought here. People don't know how to resolve conflict. So we're teaching Philippians chapter 4, this passage on Euodia and Syntyche and about their fighting and how they're going to. And we come to this thought. People don't know how to resolve conflicts. And you could make that point and you could provide illustrations and you could provide scientific data. All that's good. It's helpful. Or you could ask a question and let your people, the body of Christ, work. Something like this. Look at your family or your workplace. What happens when people get into a conflict? So what are you going to draw out here? You're going to draw out the real personal bashing that goes on out there in the world in conflict. Then you might ask a follow-up question like, what happens when conflicts go unresolved? And so what you're thinking in your mind is, I want to lead people to the conclusion that we don't have a clue in this world how to resolve conflict. It's destroying our relationships, and the Word has something to say about it. You see, so we've led them along in their thinking. They have drawn this conclusion themselves. Even if they don't speak up in the midst of the discussion, you have them engaging because they're thinking and evaluating what others are saying in the course of this discussion. Another way that you can develop a thought is that you give them some data, a quote or information, maybe even read them a biblical passage and ask the group to respond to this passage. So now I'm dealing with Ephesians 2, what it's like to live without hope and without God in the world. And we think people are lonely today. And so I raise this to the group. I say, I recently read that more people live alone now than ever. Why do you think that's so? And so we draw out issues like narcissism and inability to resolve conflicts. And the group works together. You've got a list in your mind that you're hoping they go through. If they don't make it all the way through it, then you can interject a few things on the end and summarize it. Maybe you're going to pose a follow-up question like, what impact do you think that's having? Yeah, and so they have drawn these conclusions. Another thing you can do is you ask the group to respond to an attack on the Christian worldview. I think this is really stimulating. For example, Richard Dawkins says religion is the root of all evil. How would you respond to Richard? Okay, now this wouldn't be so great for if you have visitors, non-Christians answering or visiting your group that night, but they're going to get to see that here we are as Christians. You guys aren't afraid to raise tough questions, and people have some cogent answers to these difficult questions. So, developing a thought is a very important way to help people learn and become convinced and see where you're headed. Now, the other way that you can use discussion is for application. Now, here you are, you've developed, again, you look at your outline, you've got your thesis, your antithesis, what's the thought that I want to develop here? And so we're talking about Ephesians 4, to be forgiving to one another, just as Christ in God, God in Christ has forgiven you. And so you pose a question like, why is it difficult to forgive? And what were the beauty of these kind of questions is that now we start to get deeper into the heart of a person. And within, what's koinonia mean? It means together, right? That we live life together, that we really understand the inner workings of people. We can begin to do this even in this group. And it leads to great conversations afterwards along the same line. What's it like to receive forgiveness? So now people are talking about the grace of God. If we come back to the issue of living in the world without hope and without God in the world, we might pose a question like, what's it like living? What was it like living without God? Get people reflecting and considering. When you pose a question like this, leave some time. Don't just jump in. Don't be afraid. I mean, these are deep questions and people need to think about them and how to answer them. You're doing a teaching on gratitude. What are you thankful for? Just get a whole series of people talking about something like this. What happens when you're not thankful? And how perilous it is to fall into this kind of a mindset. So when it comes to these discussion questions, a few guidelines. These questions should be concise and clear. To get to that point, you need to write your questions out. You need to write them out, and then you need to come back and edit them. Short, concise questions. If they go on and on and on, people are like, huh? They forget what you said by the time you finish your question. And then you always test them in advance. Take them to somebody else, and if they give you that deer in the headlights look, this is a failure. I need to rewrite it. I need to look at this question in a different way. But always test them. And I'll tell you, I think this is the hardest part of the teaching prep, is really settling on good questions. It takes skill. It takes practice. So invest time in preparing these questions. A few things to avoid. First of all, avoid questions that can be answered with a yes, no. Is it difficult for you to be generous? I see people make this mistake all the time. I do. And what do people do? They're like, they nod their head one way or the other, and they just sort of look at you like, you know, yes is really not an edifying answer here, or no. You know, there seems to be more. While that's a bad question, you don't ask yes or no questions. It would be something like, what makes generosity so challenging? See, it's open-ended. It allows them to engage their mind and work together. All right, another thing to avoid, and that are questions that require specific knowledge, recitation sorts of questions like, what is a tithe? Now, if you're in a cell group, you've assigned some reading, a few chapters of reading, and you expect people to come in with the knowledge, recitation questions are fine, but in home church, they're not good. What's this? What happens to the new person? They feel like the outsider. They're like, oh, I guess you're supposed to come prepared for this. Or these questions are only for the insiders, and they feel put off by that, very possibly. And you don't want that to happen. Most of your questions, if they're along application or these general questions that we've asked so far, most people could answer. And even the non-Christians that are coming into your group, they would be able to interact with a lot of these questions. So you don't want to have either of these, not yes, no, not questions that require a specific answer. Now, another point on preparation, getting a burden. Now see, this is where your sort of passion, the fizz, the pathos comes for your teaching. And remember what the old sage, the ponytailed sage said. It's boring. You know, you don't want to be boring when you teach. And you want to bring enthusiasm. You know, when we were talking about the whole idea last night of being convincing versus being charismatic, that doesn't mean that we want to be deadpan. You know, that we bring our emotion to the table here. And that's something that we're not going to fake. If you're faking it, that's always carnal. But what you want to do is ask God to give you a burden for the passage, for the truth here, and begin that from the outset. And consider, how has this truth impacted me? How has it changed my life? I just thinking back a couple weeks ago, we've been teaching through 1 John, and I had the world system in 1 John 2, where John says, you know, you can't love the world and God. It's just, you can't do that. And I got to thinking about how that basic teaching has just totally changed my life. Because I was totally sold out to the world. And I still struggle with wanting to pursue the things of the world. But I think the difference in the experience I've had in my life, because God's truth about the world being ruled by Satan. And if I'm going to love God, I'm not going to pursue the things of the world. And it's so much better. And how that's changed me. And you see, the Holy Spirit begins to build within you a sense of urgency. You become more deeply convinced that this is true. And you want to take that out, because then you start thinking about other people. And you think, what if blank? And there's a couple of guys in my home church that I'm really worried about in this realm, that they're being tempted and taken out by the world system. What if he totally got this point? How would things change for him? And you begin envisioning their life 10 years down the road, what it might be like if they get this point. Fill in the blank on the truth. But then start to think, what if he never gets it? Think of the tragedy. Think what it's going to be like for him to look back on his life and think, this was a waste. I can't believe that I went for the world. Maybe he'll never even get to that point, but his life will be wasted. And when you start praying over people like this and thinking how God has brought this truth alive in your life, you know, your heart begins to swell. And when you show up for that teaching, you know, you're not just sitting on your hands wondering what's going to happen. You know, you've got something to give that the Holy Spirit gave you. God will do this in you. Expect Him to. You know, another part of the preparation is to get the whole body of Christ involved in working together. And I think that's a good use for our e-groups. Let your people know in advance the passage. Ask them to read it, to meditate on it, and you might even provide them some of your discussion questions or to prime the pump in a certain way. Another way you can do this is to recruit some people to speak up. I think this is especially important for the people that are not as eager to chime in the discussion. But the amazing thing is the ones that are less eager, a lot of times they have better things to say because they'll think about it. Where the others is just kind of like a reflex where they blah, you know, blabber. And you're thinking, I'd like to hear from some of these other people. Well, this is one way that you can. You go to them in advance. You say, this is the point. I'd like you to think about it. And would you please speak up about the way God has changed your life through learning to be generous? Okay? So you ask them to do that and say, I think it'd be real edifying. You might even have someone give like a formal testimony where you bring them up front and say, hey, you know, John's going to tell you about how God changed his life through learning to be generous. And you let him speak to the group in that way, or they just speak from their spot. But, you know, we're told to come to fellowship prepared. And this is one way you can help people get prepared for your meeting. Now, last point. Say your entire teaching out loud. And I wonder how many people do this. I was taught to teach this way. As I talk to people, a lot of you don't do this. I think it's imperative. I do it, you know, this morning I was up, I was going through it yesterday out loud by myself. Some people like to do it in the mirror. I don't like to look at myself in the mirror doing this kind of thing. But if you don't do this, what happens is you're going to find yourself sort of stumbling over your words because you think you know how you're going to say it. When you get to that point, you start fuddling around. And you know what happens? Then you get wordy. And when you get wordy, what does wordiness get to? Boringness. And you lose your audience. It's going to happen every time. So you need to sit down. Who's practiced at this? I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and I know that if I don't get up and go through my teaching out loud in advance, it will suck. It will. At least there are going to be sections of it that are really weak. Because even though you think you know what you're going to say, you get there and you're like, bleh, bleh, bleh. You know, you just can't do it. The other thing you do is record it and listen to it. How about that? I'm going to come back to that. Delivery. Now, again, you need to bring some vigor, some enthusiasm. People are not going to be enthusiastic. This is kind of infectious when you come in here. I would use 2 to 4 questions and sprinkle them in the course of your teaching. When you pose the question, allow time for them to respond. Give feedback to encourage participation. Oh, nice. That's cool. Maybe you can even ask a question to draw out more from that person. Maybe you'll want to summarize their point, but don't say too much. This is a discussion. It's not like they talk and then you ramble on and pontificate. I think that really slows down the discussion. Quick point back. Who else has something to say? Then you get a discussion going amongst the group. On the next point, be flexible and go with the Spirit. It could be that this tangent that seems to be heading away from your outline is something God wants to do. Be sensitive to that. Be praying in advance that you will be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. When it begins to happen there, I find myself sometimes saying, God, should I go with this or do I need to get back? Let God lead you in the course of this because it could be the best thing to do. Maybe you won't get through your whole outline. Don't worry about it. Maybe you can come back next week and finish up if there are very important points that you're going to miss. But don't worry about it. In fact, I would say a 1-hour limit for your whole meeting. Teaching, discussion, and prayer. In fact, Gary emailed me this week and he said, make sure you put in there 1-hour limit because these evening meetings, you want them to finish the meeting with energy. So that they're engaged and they want to go talk about these things together afterwards. You don't want to just kind of, they're like an uncle, you know? That's it. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is how you can develop your skill as a teacher. This is a skill, which means it's something that you can learn and that you can grow into. First of all, is that your preparation. That you need to put the work in. You need to spend time on running through your teaching out loud. I think it's even better if you have a friend that you can speak it to and they can give you feedback in your period of preparation. But this is where you need to invest the time. Secondly, we need to help each other grow by giving each other feedback. If you're not accustomed to doing this, you can go to the website, just search teacher feedback. There's a Word document. You can print it out. You can have a bunch of them in your Bible. You can fill it out for each other every teaching. I mean, we need to help each other grow. We've got blind spots, things we don't see, different areas of gifting, and we can help each other grow. And don't be so touchy that, you know, when somebody gives you feedback or criticism, you're like, ow, 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 wah, wah, that hurts so bad. Well, I mean, our ego's on the line when we teach, probably more than about anything, because we're sort of under the microscope. But that's all the more reason you'd want to improve, right? You don't want to just keep teaching with the same old crap that's boring. Have somebody tell you and you're going to grow. Practice is the only way to do this. And getting feedback, and that leads me to this, record your teachings. I don't know how much of an ethos this is today. Back in the day, we used to have these little cassette recorders, so we'd always record them. Now, all you have to do is you take your smartphone out. Somebody in the crowd's got to have a smartphone. You put it on airplane mode so it doesn't ring, and then you pull up your virtual recorder and you hit record and put it right there in front of them. You'll get a fine recording. Okay? And then you have to listen to it. Okay? And that is very, very painful. It's very painful. You know, I talk to people about this. They're like, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't stand listening to myself. Well, what do you think about those people in the crowd? If you can't stand listening, those poor suckers, they have to do it once a month. And you won't even listen to yourself once. I think that is, that's bad. And you need to listen to yourself. I mean, Jody Keir and I, when we were trying to learn how to teach, we would go over each other's teaching in advance. We would record them in advance. Then we'd listen to them ourselves. Then we would record our teachings. Then we would sit down with each other and go over each other's teaching, recording together and critique it. It was very painful. And it took a lot of time. We probably would invest, you know, 10 hours together on each teaching. But I feel like God used that to help us grow in that realm. And I would encourage you guys to be really vigorous. I mean, this is such an important part of your meeting. If you got a crummy teaching, you got a crummy meeting. And we want to have good meetings. We want to have good koinonia. We're having meetings more frequently. We should be compelled to try to improve here. All right, how else can we develop this skill? Listen to good teachings. You can go to the Xenos website and listen to a lot of good teachings. I've got other resources. There are other excellent pastors. But as you listen to it, if it's engaging and you're starting to say, wow, this is really cool, begin to think, why? What is it? How is it that the point was developed? How is it that the maybe it's a voice or it's something that's drawn me in? Why is it working? And try to analyze it. Or if it's getting boring on you, think, you know, why is this losing my attention here? And you'll learn in that way by analyzing. You need to just keep learning and reading and growing in all areas, you know, in literature, in history, in Bible studies, in news and philosophy, you know, whatever you seems to be your thing, keep learning and growing because God's going to give you things to bring back in for your teachings. And I think it's really cool, especially in home church. I'll even do it in CTs or that kind of thing now and then. If there's something that pertains to that group or to that topic, just bring the book in. You know, it's amazing. People don't read books much anymore. And they'll think, this is shocking. This guy has a book? And you bring a book in and you open it up and you read them a few paragraphs out of it. And the reason I like to do that is, one, it helps make the point. In a real powerful way sometimes. You go come in and read like through some Screwtape letters with people. They're awesome, you know. But the other thing it does, it gets people interested in reading something. I want to read that book. And it has a dual effect. So I think just keep cultivating your own mind, your own spirit, and God will use that to make your teachings better. Because the other thing about reading is you begin to learn how good writers make points. And that's very important, to just learn a logical flow of making a point, or how to make. And that's why I love to read literature and good fiction. I like reading sort of old classics and stuff. I like the way they write better. But to see the way they develop a picture and develop a point, you just learn from it, and it's going to help your teaching. And finally, you need to practice. And that's why I take every opportunity you can. If you can teach in an OASIS, if you can teach a junior high cell group or a high school cell group, or if somebody says, hey, you want to teach cell group this week, you say yes. Because you figure, here's what you should figure. When somebody asks you to teach, that's God asking you. Yeah. And that's the way I figure it is. And that's why I very rarely would say no to teaching. Because I figure God is calling me to do that. And I want to respond to his call. And it's going to give me more practice. I'm going to develop what he's given me to develop. All right, well, we've covered a lot here. And I think these presentations will be available so you can get these points. But I just want to say in conclusion a few things here. First of all, home churches need solid teaching with persuasion. What is our goal? That the Holy Spirit is at work here. We're declaring the Word of God to these people so that they can become persuaded, that they become convinced Christians. Yeah. Teaching through discussion is superior to help people learn. We're bringing the body of Christ together to work. And I'll tell you, man, you all can develop this skill if you work at it. And always remember, it's a sin to be boring when you teach the Word. All right? Here's a few resources. Now, what we're going to do is Scott Arnold's going to come up, and he's going to talk about unity, working for unity in our leadership teams. And then we'll have a Q&A period for both of us after Scott's done. So, good. Thanks.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.